Blue Wire.
Kirk Cousins, he's going to be a Minnesota Viking. This was the right call.
Cousins, pressure, hit as he throws, going for Thielen. He's got it! Touchdown!
Welcome in, everybody. Welcome to Bleeding Purple, a podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. We are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and we are brought to you today by BetOnline.ag. Make sure to head to BetOnline.ag and enter the code BLUEWIRE, that's all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. All right, joining me this week is someone who is a Vikings fan, and who has covered the Vikings in the past for thevikingage.com with myself. Myself being Adam Patrick, I forgot to introduce myself, from the Viking Age. Please welcome Dominique Claire to the show. Welcome.
Hey, everybody.
All right, before we get started, please let everyone know where they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, so Twitter is where I'm at the most. That's at Dom Claire, D-O-M-C-L-A-R-E. And then also I'm on Facebook a little bit. Don't use it as much. That is Dom Claire Blogger. And then a little bit on Instagram as well, and that is Dominique Claire Fit. The little fitness stuff more on Instagram as well, but some sports stuff every once in a while.
All right, yeah. Go check him out, guys. He's got some good takes that a lot of you might agree with. So, all right, let's get into some headlines. Starting off, the Vikings announced this week the hiring of Dom Capers as a senior defensive assistant. Do we think this is a good hire, a bad hire? What do you think? What are your expectations for Dom Capers joining the Vikings?
I think it was a good hire. I saw a lot of initial reaction of people upset about it, and I didn't understand that because, I mean, Zimmer's still going to run the defense, but I like the fact that he's looking to get some outside perspective on it. I think he understands the fact that he's been lacking to get pressure on quarterbacks, and he's open to getting some ideas from other people to possibly change that up. So I think that that this is a great hire based on that because he can – He's gonna get another coach that's been coaching for a while that has some ideas, things that have actually worked in the NFL that he's gonna listen to, that he respects obviously because he brought him in, and he was gonna implement within his defense.
Yeah, I mean, Dom Capers has been coaching for I think around four decades in the NFL, so he's got the experience, and he's a former head coach, and it seems like Mike Zimmer likes to bring in former head coaches and add them to his staff, just you know, to help out with other ideas, like you said. And I think it's good too because, you know, they're defensive coordinators now. I don't think they've ever been defensive coordinators for an NFL team before, with Andre Patterson and Adam Zimmer being the co-defensive coordinators for the Vikings now. So having Dom Capers in there can kind of, you know, maybe help guide them if they, you know, have questions on certain things. And I think it's a good hire. You know, he was with the Packers with their defense for a bunch of years, and they weren't the greatest defense, but yeah, they brought a lot of pressure. I feel like every year, and they turned the ball over a bunch. So I think it's a good element to add to Mike Zimmer's defense, and in a way for it to maybe step in a different direction that makes them better than they were last year. Cause I think they kind of took a step back last year. So, the XFL kicked off this past weekend, and some former Vikings were out on the field, including Willie Beavers, Jeff Bidette, Darrell Presley, and Jack Tocho, among others. Did you watch any of the games that were on?
I watched some replays. I was not able to see them live, but I turned it on for a little bit when it was on, but I wasn't able to watch the entire game. But what I did notice is I loved the pace of it. It was faster. You can tell they learned from some of the things that the NFL lacks or does wrong, and they're really trying to focus on those things to get people that maybe like, oh, this is what I hate about the NFL, and I love this here. So, like, the pace won me over right away, just the pace of the game.
Yeah, was there any like one thing that maybe you found more interesting over others, whether it be like a new rule or something they're doing with the like the broadcast?
Yeah, I thought the being able to listen to the rest was interesting. All the transparency there—that's something that I think, that especially with how criticized the refs are in the NFL, that people would really appreciate to have that transparency there. It's something that I don't think the NFL would necessarily allow, but we'll see if now. Seeing the success and how well received that was in the XFL, if that's something that they might look at or consider.
Yeah, for sure. I was pretty much like you. I didn't really watch a whole lot, snippets here and there, and some highlights online. But I do think the kickoff is interesting because it's where they line up. I believe the kickoff coverage teams lines up like five yards in front of the receiving team, and they can't run until the receiver gets the ball like in his hands. So there's no head start or anything of, and like full on collision. So I think that's something interesting. And then being able to look at like when there's a replay challenge, you get to listen to all that back and forth of, you know, getting to see another view and seeing all the replays that they get to see. And apparently they use an Xbox controller to do the replays, you know, back and forth. So I thought that was interesting. But I think it's good. It was a good start. I think it's got a better shot than the Alliance of the American Football League from last year. I think there's a lot more professionalism behind it than there was that year or that league. It felt like that league might have been a little bit more rushed, and the XFL seems to be maybe heading on a better track. So, in other former Vikings news, Jerick McKinnon, if you remember him, I think he's, you know, hard to forget. He's with the 49ers now, and he's hoping to stay with the 49ers in 2020. Now, he's with the 49ers, but he hasn't played in the past two seasons because his first season was with them. He tore his ACL, and then last year, I believe, he had some complications with that and had to have another small operation on that knee, and he missed all of last season as well. But he's got a cap hit in 2020 of more than $8.5 million. So what do you think his chances are to actually stay with the 49ers?
Well, I read that he's willing to do whatever it takes to remain on the team. So that tells me that he has Super Bowl aspirations and really wants to stay on that team. And so maybe he'll be willing to restructure that allows them to take less of a cap hit or just have a team-friendly deal after once he restructures that really sets them up for the future. So I don't know what all that entails when he says he's willing to do whatever, but that is a good sign to show that he may end up a 49er come next season. But if he's not willing to restructure or ultimately take less money in the long run, I don't see them sticking with him at all, because you can't with those injuries and not playing in 2 years. Obviously, it could pay off because he could be 100% healthy, not taking any hits for 2 years, but he also could be rusty and not be the same player at all. So it is risky as is.
Yeah, and that seems like a lot of money to give to a guy who hasn't played in 2 years, and especially when you got some, you know, Raheem Mostert emerged in the backfield for them this year, and Tevin Coleman was pretty good as well. So I think McKinnon, if I were to guess today, I would say he's on his way out, just because they just don't have enough room in the playbook for him to really make an impact, and it really wouldn't be just worth keeping around a guy like that who's probably not going to pay for like a veteran's minimum. So I think he's probably on the way out. Unfortunately, maybe he'll return to Minnesota. Probably not. So this brings us to our betonline.ag take of the week. Betonline.ag is your online sportsbook expert. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE. Remember, that's all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. All right. My take is going to be about a player who seems to be causing a bit of a stir anytime he either makes a tweet or his name is mentioned. It just, everything's blown up. If you say one opinion about him this way or the other way, then, you know, everyone freaks out about whatever you say or whatever you don't say. But here's my take. I believe Stefon Diggs will not be on the Vikings come week one of the 2020 season. I just think he's wanted out. There's been reports that he's just been unhappy, you know, with his role in the offense before this season or last season even started. Even, you know, if you remember, he didn't attend OTAs, and that was just thrown it off as like, oh, he's working out on his own. But I've heard that there's more to that than that. And then he had the incident where he missed practice this season and had that awkward press conference with his hoodie covering his face and everything. And he's a great player.
Yep.
But you also have to look at, you know, what kind of offense you're running. You know, they kept Gary Kubiak, so their offense is probably going to be run very similar to what it was run last year, and that's predicated around, you know, running the ball with Dalvin Cook and play action. I really just don't think you feel you need to pay two receivers top dollar plus your quarterback top dollar in an offense that's not built around passing the ball. And then you look at, well, between Thielen and Diggs, well, then who do you part ways with? Well, Thielen's like a god in Minnesota. Like he's the hometown kid. So as much as people say people would be up in arms if they trade Stephon Diggs, I think it would be even worse if they traded Thielen, and Thielen didn't get fined $200,000 last year for, you know, having a cold, as Diggs like to say. So that's my hot take. I think, you know, they can probably get a good return. The Vikings don't have a lot of cap space, so draft picks are going to be even more important this year than they have been in the past, because just limited cap space. So they need to add a bunch of players probably through the draft, because that's the cheapest way they could probably do that. And at this point, Diggs' trade value might not be as high as it is right now. So why not see what you can get for him? And if you can't get anything good, then keep him around, because he's a great player too. And me saying that he might be traded says nothing about the opinion I have of him as a player. I love watching him on the field. I've loved his career in the Vikings. He's one of my most favorite players I've watched in the last couple of years. So I just don't think they have enough room to pay that much in their passing game when it's not a focal point of their offense. Dom, do you either have a take or a reaction to what I just said?
I have both, so I have a reaction. Okay. A reaction to what you said. I don't. I mean, I obviously think that they should retain Diggs, but I get where you're coming from, and I understand it, because it was a distraction. I mean, he is talented, but I got frustrated too. He kept every. I like the guys that are just gonna shut up and play sort of sense. You know, like this is you're going through drought. The Vikings were losing, and every time it seemed like he would make it about himself every time that problems would come. And that really irritates me as a fan, because, you know, the team should rally together. That's not when you should be getting down on Kirk Cousins or saying things or to the media that might be hinting that you're frustrated with your quarterback. That's a time where you need to be building your quarterback up, saying, that's my guy. We all believe in him, whether you do or not. I mean, that's just what you do as a teammate. And he's a guy that can, if your team's on the edge of falling apart, that can make it fall apart a little more. With that being said, I'm hoping that he grows up and matures, and the Vikings can give him that foundation and that coaching to help him get past it, and he can continue to play at the high level that he does, and they can get him a little more involved next year if they do, which I think they will keep him.
And then you said you had a take of your own?
Yep, so my take would be, and I don't think it's a hot take, but apparently it is on Twitter sometimes, that the Vikings should extend Kirk Cousins, and I think that take is going to help, obviously, relieve some cap space by putting that contract out. He's a great quarterback, played top 10, top 15, depending on how you look at it, this season in the NFL. He hasn't won the Super Bowl, but I do think he's good enough to take the Vikings to a Super Bowl. And with the right things around him and the right coaching, which is really anybody, no one does it by themselves, I think the Vikings can win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins, and he's going to show that. He just needs time. He's had different offensive coordinators but every year for the last how many years. So some stability will be good, and just give him the time and the assurance that he is part of the future going forward. I think that'll be big for him. And just to have a home and a team rally around him, I think he can get the job done, and the Vikings should extend him and build around him.
What would you say is the ideal length of an extension you would like? Do you want it to be shorter or longer to keep him around? maybe something with an option.
Yeah, I'd say like three to four years with the option, team option, or if he'd go for that.
Yeah. Because I've heard some people say like even just like a 2 year extension might be something they'd look into, but then I feel like they might be in the same position next year. So yeah, I think I can see it from both sides, extending him and not extending him, because you know, you look at the trend in the NFL now, it seems like you go after the top draft pick and then you save money at the quarterback and hope that he's good and then just spend all the money around him. But you know, the 49ers spent a bunch of money on Jimmy G and they got to the Super Bowl this year. So there's arguments for both sides. I wouldn't have a problem if they extended Kirk Cousins. I think, you know, obviously there's some people that would, but he played well last year. He gets to be with Gary Kubiak for another season in a row in the same offense. I think that's the first time he's actually been able to be in the same offense for 2 years in a row, maybe for his first time as a starter. So that'll be good. Interesting to see. I can agree with that. So there you have it. That's the betonline.ag takes of the week. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE. That is all one word for your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. All right. Moving on. We're going to discuss a little bit about some of the free agents the Vikings have that could potentially be franchise tagged this year. Now, they haven't used the Vikings haven't used a franchise tag since 2011, and that was on Chad Greenway way back when. And a little trivia for you, Dominique. Before that, do you know who they used the franchise tag on? It was in 2003. I'll give you that.
2003. I'm struggling to even think of Vikings back then other than Jim Kleinsaucer.
That's who it was.
All right, that's my guess.
Yeah, that's who it was. Before Chad Greenway, that was the guy the Vikings used their franchise tag on, Jim Kleinsaucer, way back in the day. You wouldn't think that they would do that, but I'm sure it was probably a cheap option given his position as tight end. It's not like he's a quarterback or a defensive end or anything like that. So let's start off with, since their franchise tag amount is estimated to be around the same since they're both corners, Mackenzie Alexander or Trey Waynes, it would cost the Vikings around $16.5 million in 2020 to do this. Do you think that the Vikings might use the franchise tag on either one of these guys?
I struggle to see, especially Alexander. I know he's played above what people think he is. He always does that, it seems like. But I think I just can't see it just because he isn't a starter, and it'd be difficult for people to really understand that, even though the Vikings front office understands it and they know what his worth is. But I can't see that. I could see Waynes a little more, but I don't think they're going to use it on him either. I think they feel that they could possibly let him go and get him around that same value or someone else for that value.
Yeah, I think Waynes is probably going to be able to get a bunch of money elsewhere. I'm sure the Vikings want to keep him, but that might not just financially be able to be done. And then Mackenzie Alexander, unless he moves to the outside and becomes, you know, one of their top two corners, I can't see them spending, you know, over $16 million on a guy who mostly lines up in the slot, which is what I would imagine he would just play if the Vikings brought him back. So let's go on to Anthony Harris. This is interesting because I think Spotrac or Spotrac, I don't know how they pronounce it, but they estimate his market value to be around like $13.5 million, I think, for a yearly salary average. But the franchise tag is $12.5 million. Do you think the Vikings could maybe use a franchise tag on Anthony Harris?
Yeah, I think that would be a smart move. I'm not sure how good he would fit in another system because he was kind of a Zimmer project that Zimmer built. So I do think it would be wise of him to stay with the Vikings regardless and possibly try to work a friendly deal. But if he's not, if he's going to take what his value is, if that's higher than the tag, I think it would be a smart move for the Vikings to do.
Yeah, I'm not so sure because it was his first year as a full year starter. And he did really well. But he's been with the team for multiple years, and this was his first year where he really, you know, stood out. It was his first time getting an opportunity to be a starter, and he did well. I might be worried about giving a guy like that, you know, a bunch of money and then him, you know, not playing as well during the length of that contract. And you're already giving a bunch of money to Harrison Smith as one of your safeties. And the Vikings have shown that Harrison Smith he can make up for a lot of things that maybe the other safety can, you know, is lacking. And when we saw Andrew Sandejo be the starter for a number of years, and everyone knows he's not the, you know, the greatest safety in the world. So I'd be a little hesitant to put that much money in Anthony Harris, but if they really like him and they want to keep him around, I think the franchise tag would be, you know, a great way to see that, because it's only a year and you can see if he can continue to play at the, you know, the same level that he did this past season. And, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, him being under contract for more than this year if that didn't happen either. So I've got one more guy. It's a little interesting, I feel like, but Dan Bailey, the kicker, he would only cost the Vikings around a little over $5 million to franchise tag him. Could you see maybe the Vikings doing this?
That would be, yeah, special teamer. That'd be interesting. I struggle to see that too, especially since they haven't used it in so long. I struggle to see them using it on anyone. I don't think they're going to franchise tag anybody. But I don't see that. I don't see them doing, especially with how Zimmer seems to look at kickers, how they're just so replaceable. And but I mean, he did have a pretty good year, and they've had some rough goes with kickers in the last prior years. So maybe you never know.
Yeah, he only missed two kicks last year, all year long, and I think he made all of his kicks inside US Bank Stadium. But if they bring him back, either franchise tag or not, they should make sure that they bring back their punter, Britton Colquitt, as well, because he's a free agent too, and I think him being the holder made a big impact on Bailey's success last year. All right, guys. You ever go out to dinner or to a bar and you see someone wearing an untucked button-down shirt? They look bad. Why? Because they weren't meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, there's Untuck It, the original button-down shirt actually designed to be worn untucked. No matter your size or shape, Untuck It shirts always fall at the perfect untucked length. With more than 50 fit combinations, Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. I mean, they have shirts that fit Linval Joseph, Mike Zimmer, Stephon Diggs, Dan Bailey, Kirk Cousins, whatever your size is, they have the fit for you. Choose from styles like wrinkle-free button-down, super soft, flannels, outerwear, and more. With Untuck It, your shirts will never look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big again. And their website is so easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuck It is the way to go. So visit untuckit.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's untuckit.com. And promo code BLUE for 20% off. Before we get out of here, I'd like to go over some free agents that the Vikings should target in 2020. The legal tampering period for free agency begins on March 16th, so we're still a little ways away. And then free agency officially kicks off on March 18th. Right now, the Vikings are estimated to be more than $10 million over the cap. So obviously, they need to make some moves. And I've looked at it, you know, all the cap sites or whatever. And there's ways for them to probably create, you know, $20 to $30 million in cap space. So if, you know, if the Vikings want to go after maybe one of the higher priced free agents, they can probably afford to go after, you know, maybe one of these guys, maybe for their offensive line or whatever. But here are some of the guys that I had in mind. Brandon Scherff, he He's a right guard. He was with the Redskins for the last couple of years. He made three Pro Bowls. Used to be a teammate with Kirk Cousins back in the day. He's from Iowa. So he's probably got some Vikings fans, either, you know, either he was or in his family. I feel like a lot of Vikings fans are in the Iowa area. You can probably comment on that better than I can. And then there's Joe Thuney. He's a left guard. He's with the Patriots. I don't think he's allowed a sack in the past two seasons, and I think he had one penalty all last year. So that would be a huge upgrade over Pat Elflein. There's Anthony Costanzo. He's a left tackle. He's been with the Colts his whole career. He'd be an upgrade over Riley Reiff, but apparently he's considering retiring. I think he's like 31 years old, so he might actually retire instead of sign with another team. There's Chris Jones from the Chiefs. I think people are pretty familiar with him. He was he's a very good pass rusher. He can play on the outside and the inside. You know, if the Vikings were decided to go in a different direction with Everson Griffin and Linval Jones, Chris Jones would be, or Linval Joseph, Chris Jones would be a good guy to bring in and, you know, replace them with, because he's only 25 and he's got a lot of career left. And there's Byron Jones, cornerback. He's from the Dallas Cowboys. He'd be an upgrade over Xavier Rhodes, probably even an upgrade over Trey Waynes. You know, they need to figure out who their top corners are going to be next year, because I don't think they can roll into 2020 with the guys they had last year. And lastly is Yannick Ngakoue from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think he's around 25 years old, and he's one of the best young pass rushers in the NFL, and he'd be a great guy to come in and take over for Everson Griffin. And Dom Capers was with the Jaguars last year, and so he worked with them, so he might have a little in with that. And I believe he was actually a teammate with Stephon Diggs at Maryland, so there's a lot of connections there. Either out of those guys or someone else maybe you had in mind, is there any free agent that you've seen that you think the Vikings should try and go after this offseason if they're able to free up enough money?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see them bring in a real true wide receiver number three, being that we keep Diggs and Thielen. I mean, those guys, we've seen a couple injuries, obviously Thielen last year, and I felt the offense was very limited with just Diggs, and we've seen it with just Thielen too, and that was almost even worse the year prior. So I see some guys out there like Travis Benjamin that I feel could be a viable number three wide receiver all year. There's Randall Cobb, which is, he's going to be a free agent, depending on money, obviously. If you're going after another big free agent, these guys could still be in addition to that, because those are a little lighter guys than salary-wise. A cornerback, we've had multiple injury suspensions, unfortunately, with those, and Xavier Rhodes not playing as good as he should. I can never have too many of those, so there's a few corners in there that I see that could be potential replacements or just good depth, possibly starting caliber, like DeQuise Denard, Eli Apple, a few guys like that that the Vikings could pick up that I wouldn't mind seeing brought in at all. I like all the linemen. All the ideas you said were great, too, the linemen. Should never stop working on that. I'd like to really attack that in the draft, but if there's a free agent that they think fits the system of the zone blocking, I do think that the Vikings should grab one of those as well. And then lastly, I think look at a quarterback. I do not feel confident in our current backup situation right now. So if they could grab a guy, Keenum, like, I do see Keenum is available, but as a free agent, but that would be kind of interesting. But I think he would require too much money as a backup at this point, just because of the season he did have with the Vikings. But if he were to take backup money, I would love to see Keenum back as a backup again. That would be actually pretty interesting.
I don't know if Zimmer wants Keenum to be back.
It might be a circus in the...
Yeah. As soon as Kirk Cousins throws an interception, there's going to be a chance for Keenum. You know, there's going to be a mutiny in the locker room and all that stuff. So as much as people would probably like to see Case Keenum back, and he'd probably be pretty cheap, actually, to bring back, I don't see that happening. I think it's going to be most interesting to see what the Vikings do in these next couple of weeks, just because they have to free up cap space, because they're over the cap, right? Or they're estimated to be. They're even more over the cap than what I said, than the $10 million, because the cap hasn't increased yet. for next year. It hasn't been announced. So we don't even really know how much they're going to be over the cap, but they've got to make some serious moves. I think Zimmer said in his season-ending press conference that, you know, feelings are going to have to be put aside. We're going to have to just, you know, part ways with some of the longtime guys, and that might be Everson Griffin. It might be Xavier Rhodes or Linval Joseph or Riley Reiff or any, you know, some other guys. But it's going to be interesting for sure. But that's going to be it for today. Thanks again for joining the show, Dominique. And real quick, before we leave, just let everyone know where they can, once again, follow you on social media.
Yeah, so I'll just leave the main one, just Twitter, at Dom Clare, DOMCLARE.
All right, thanks again. Make sure to follow the show, Bleeding Purple Podcast, on Twitter, at Bleeding Podcast, and subscribe to the show on the Apple Podcast app or wherever you get your podcasts. So thank you for joining, Dominique, and until next time, Skol.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right.